on the line with us right now, Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, Brian Baldinger. As always, Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to be with you guys, man. How are you?
Good. Listen, having a bit of a, I don't want to call it a spirited debate, but a good conversation surrounding Marcus Davenport. Some fans are starting to get in a little impatient because in the preseason game the other night, he had nada to show in the stat line. And I'm sitting here saying, look, keep in mind, he only played in 7 games last year. And I think that you need to have a little bit more patience with Marcus Davenport. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I mean, first of all, they do a lot with him. They stand him up. They put him down. They got him playing like a little outside linebacker sometimes. You know, I think he's still growing. You know, I mean, he looks bigger to me this year than he did last year. And it's the pass rush thing doesn't just happen overnight. I mean, you got to learn how to set your men up. And, you know, I thought – I understand. I mean, I watched him this past weekend, and the stats aren't really there yet, but that's okay. You know, when you get Cam Jordan on the other side, that's going to help him. You get the inside pass rush, that's going to help him. You can beat an offensive tackle or combination of tight ends and backs or whatever and still not get a sack. There's, you know, quarterbacks can, like Bobby right next to you, you know, can certainly be elusive and get away from things. But I just want to see his effort. You know, I just want to see great effort, and I think he's got to play a little bit lower. I mean, I think he plays a little bit too high, and being a tall guy like that, I think works to his disadvantage sometimes.
Now, Brian, before I ask you a question, I wanted to bring up a good friend of you and I, Rich Motte. He said, oh, you having Baldy on? Tell him about Nassau Community College. And he just said he was up there and that your old coach, Jim Wyman, just turned 85 years of age.
Yeah, Rich, you know, obviously Rich was a great special teamer and, you know, for the Saints and, you know, had a good career. His son, Matt, you know, was a great player at Penn State and played for the Vikings for a while. I mean, his football's in the blood. But when I went to Nassau Community College, you know, none of us really go to junior college. We just end up there.
Right.
Things didn't work out the Naval Academy for me. So I went there. And when I got there, they're all telling me about, hey, if you do things the right way and, you know, you follow the program here, you could be like Rich Motte. Like, he was our guy that everybody talked about. And I was like, well, who's this Rich Motte guy, you know? And after all these years, I heard his name forever and ever, and I'd never met him. Yeah, I knew his son. I never met Rich. And then finally, we were celebrating our coach there, Jim Wyman, his birthday. And I went up to the event, and there was Rich. And I finally got to meet him after all these years, you know. So it was great. He was a great guy, man. A lot of fun, fun-loving New Orleans guy. And so we finally got a chance to, you know, come. But without him, I wouldn't have had that guy that everybody talked about.
Right.
That made, you know, pro football seem possible.
Now, Brian, looking at the Saints going to Los Angeles, practicing against the Chargers, and I think I know it's early in training camp, but it's the third year they've done this against the Chargers. A great measuring stick, considering look at the Saints. Last year we were 13-3. They were 12-4. But you're looking at a top 10 offense and defense. You know, you're always striving to get that team balance. Boy, can we have a top 10 offense and defense? And you have that in the Chargers, where I don't think you could say – the Chargers are a dark horse anymore. They're up there with the Chiefs and the Patriots. But it'll be interesting. I told the Who Dat Nation in California, go to the practice on Thursday. It's going to be highly competitive. The game's not until Sunday. And then Friday, I know what happened last year. The Saints got embarrassed on that Thursday, and it bounced back and was outstanding in that Friday practice. So when you look at these dual practices, and especially the competition, when you talk about – like Keenan Allen going against Lattimore. You got Phillip Rivers, Drew Brees. You go on and on. Their edge rushes versus the Saints' offensive tackles. There's almost too much football at once to watch is going on. But I just think it's a great opportunity for the Saints. And Sean Payton talks about his relationship with Anthony Lynn to be able to go out there. The weather will be a whole lot better, not dealing with the humidity. But what is your take with these, when you were playing and all, with these dual practices, what a player could get out of instead of beating up on one another?
I tell you, Bobby, I was at the Raiders-Rams scrimmage last Thursday up at Napa, and it was awesome. I mean, there was probably too many fights for the coaches. But to watch Aaron Donald go to work, you know, watch Derek Carr, you know, throw some dimes the other day, to watch the Rams offense, like, at work, and the reason why they're so good, the precision that they practice with. But these scrimmages are awesome, Bobby. I mean, they're going to replace preseason games. They already are.
Right. They're
always playing. And you can see why. They can control them. I was at the Chargers. That was the first camp I went to this year. That team is – they're loaded. I mean, they are so, – defensively, there's great players at every position. The Saints are going to get a ton of work. Offensively, you mentioned Keenan Allen, but that Michael Williams is – he had 11 touchdowns last year and 43 catches. Marshawn will see him and, you know, Eli Apple. I mean, they're going to get great work on every drill. I mean, special teams as well. It's going to be really beneficial. I think the Saints and the Chargers will both get better because of this. You know, Phillip Rivers is nothing he hasn't seen.
Right.
And those two backs that they have, Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson, I know Melvin Gordon isn't there, but those two backs are really good. They catch a ton of passes out of the backfield. They'll see Mike Pouncey, an elite center. I mean, this is going to be great work. For all the things that you said, and I'm going to be at the Philadelphia-Baltimore scrimmage practice sessions next week here in Philadelphia.
Whoa.
Gosh, if I didn't have surgery on my hand today, Bobby, I'd fly out to California and go watch that Saints-Chargers scrimmage myself. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Brian Baldinger here on Sports Talk. Also, I love your Baldies breakdowns, man. That's good stuff. I want to ask you, should Saints fans be concerned about a Drew Brees decline?
I've heard whispers about this prior to even the end of the season last year. And, one year, I forget which one it was, he had kind of a bad shoulder and he had a heart. It seemed like he was laboring, getting the ball down the field. It's a long season, and so I think, maybe he doesn't need to throw every single pass. Maybe if the Saints are blowing out the Eagles like they did last year, maybe Teddy should go in there and play some. I mean, I think, teams and coaches do a good job of pacing defensive linemen and running backs to get through the season, to get to the postseason. Maybe they should start doing that with quarterbacks as well. And instead of throwing 550 or 600 passes, maybe it's better if Drew throws 450 or 500. I'm sure Drew would, put his foot right in my mouth for saying any of that. But maybe they should. Maybe I'm sure he's fresh right now, but training camp, preseason, 16 regular season, you get to the 18th game last year, maybe, hopefully a Super Bowl, maybe you got to pace him a little bit more when you get to this age. I'm just making a suggestion.
They've done that to a degree in training camp. Radio.com NFL Insider Brian Baldinger on with us. Brian, you mentioned that you had surgery on your hand. Is that to get that gnarly finger fixed, the pinky?
No, they should have gotten it done at the same time. I just had this carpal tunnel issue.
Don't get it. Don't get it. I think that's awesome. Your pinky's awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, they looked at it and they said, nah, it's nothing we could do. So just got the carpal tunnel taken care of here today. Got a nice little cast on my hand, so... I'm good. I'm good, man. I
hope you heal well.
Now, Brian, you look. It seems like Dallas is always in the news every day. I mean, any show or every show, they're talking somewhat about Dallas, about the holdouts and who you're going to pay and all. What is your take? Is that just a negotiating ploy? Well, look, Dak Prescott, $40 million, he hasn't won anything. Is that what he knows? Reach for the moon or the sky, however you want to describe it, then you come down more realistic, $30 million. I even think that's high. Considering I look at Russell Wilson, I mean, I don't have a problem with him being highest paid quarterback. He's won a Super Bowl, had an opportunity maybe to win two. You might say, well, it's a team sport, and I'm a Dak Prescott fan, but I'm like thinking, I don't know, is that just agent talk when you hear $40 million out there or what?
And Bobby, I saw the same thing you saw, and it didn't come out of Dak's mouth or his agent or out of Jerry Jones' mouth. So, I mean, I kind of don't listen to many of the reports.
Right.
I was out in Dallas twice last week, up in Oxnard, and saw them. And, on September 8th, they're going to play the New York Giants, and I think Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott will be in the lineup. And they'll be helping their team try to win and win a division game and go 1-0. And all this other stuff I think is just sort of noise right now. I mean, they're both under contract.
Right.
Zeke really doesn't have any leverage. I mean, he's got 2 years left in his deal, Bobby. Now, you could say he's outplayed his contract, and maybe he feels he does, but contracts are contracts. And so I don't believe that they're going to rip this deal up with 2 years left and give him the richest, running back deal. And I think Zeke kind of knows it, but he's playing the game. And so that's what players do. They play the game and see if the owners will blink or fold. But I believe they're both going to be in the lineup on September 8th right now.
Now, Brian, speaking of playing the game, it kind of reminds me of a receiver that I played with, Andre Rison, that being Antonio Brown. Does he beat to his own drum, so to speak? I mean, I look at about the helmet situation, and you're getting paid that kind of money. You wear any kind of helmet almost when you think about it. And, I mean, what is your take? Is it more trying to get those wheels healed? I mean, his feet are all jacked up. I mean, is that just a ploy, or what do you think the helmet is that much of nothing, or what?
You know, I played with Andre Rison for a year in Indianapolis, and he was some kind of football player, man.
Right.
He was electric. You know, I think that the helmet issue is settled. He could. I was up at the scrimmage with the Rams last Thursday. He wasn't there, and you know, all these reports. He's AWOL. Is all this? He's trying to get his feet healed. What he's trying to do.
Right.
I don't know how all that stuff happens. I've never been in a cryo chamber like before, Bob, so I'm not sure how that all works. But, you know, I mean, he runs for a living. And so if his feet are hurting, I don't care if it was blisters or whatever it is. I mean, it's going to affect what he does. He needs to get healthy. I think the helmet thing is going to get resolved. I think he made a statement. You probably don't like a player that says, I'm not playing football unless I get my helmet. It's like saying, you know, I'm going to take my ball and go home.
Right.
But, you know, so you like to see, maybe a little bit more discretion there. But I think Antonio Brown is a great player. He's probably not the best teammate from all accounts. But I think John Gruden really wants him badly. And they're going to be a better team with him in the lineup. And I think within a week, I think we'll watch Hard Knocks and we'll see a lot of this stuff get resolved. And I think he's going to start playing some football here pretty soon.
Baldy, thanks for your patience and your time, man. Appreciate the insight.
All right, my pleasure, man. Take care.
Thanks,
talk to you, Bobby. See you down the road, buddy.
That was Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire.